What was the inspiration for the podcast?
You know what, man? The behind the podcast is like it's a show that we had, that we were, everybody's doing these podcasts and stuff, and I didn't want to do the same thing that everybody else does, you know, just be another Russell's podcast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to be something different, and so I talked to Oren over at Geek Nation, and we came up with doing like an actual talk show, you know, on the net that mm-hmm. people can actually see us instead of just hearing us. So, you know, it will be available also, you know, on a radio format also. You can hear it while you're driving. But we want to, just something different. So kind of all it really is. And that's kind of what we came up with. And we've just been kicking it around and kind of do a trial and error. And it's turned out pretty good.
I love the setup of the show. You got your hog in the back. You got the ECW title. You got all those titles. You got your co-host pouring beers. It's just like a really laid back kind of atmosphere. How did you kind of? I know you said you wanted to do something different, but how did that whole setup come to be?
You know what? It kind of we shot around a bunch of ideas, and I said, let's do what I do normally. It's kind of like, you know, make the set look kind of cool, and it's kind of like in like almost. Even though it's not a garage, but it's kind of what I do in my garage with the stuff around and stuff. And, you know, I don't have the belts on the wall and stuff. But you know, we sit and drink beer and just kind of do what guys do. Instead of, you know, talking about, you know, let's say when Rampage Jackson, the MMA fighter, you know, when he started his MMA career, you know, he answers that question, you know, 100 times. I want to ask you, hey, what's the first time you get your ass kicked, you know, like in school, you know, and that kind of stuff. Just different stuff that you would ask. You know, a one-on-one thing, you know, because really, you know, on a radio, an interview or a podcast, they're always asking the same questions, you know. Those aren't the questions that I ask when I'm hanging one-on-one with these guys. And a lot of these guys are my friends that we actually do this, go grab beers, go out to, you know, a club or a dinner or whatever together. And I don't care when he started his MMA career, but I do care the first time he got his butt kicked and the first time, you know, what car he lost his virginity in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what was it like to interview Roddy? And let's just start with when did you interview him, and how do you feel now that everything has transpired the way that it has?
Well, I've known Roddy my whole life. You know, I met Roddy when I was 5 years old. You know, he was 19 years old, you know, already wrestling men. You know, this guy was really, really good at his craft at a very young age. So, you know, he was always larger than life to me. And I remember he was just kind of like Uncle Roddy hanging out, you know. So I've been really friends with him my whole life. And after becoming a wrestler, you know, I really reconnected with him a lot. And he became just like a mentor to me and really helped me out a lot of, you know, just different aspects in life and the business and, you know, just insights, you know, that he's been around. He's been around a lot and a very wise guy, you know. So we created a really cool relationship, you know, and just without even trying, you know. And he used to call me his son, you know, like, hey, you're my son too. So, and that being said, I did his podcast, and when I did his podcast, I was like, hey, man, you want to do mine? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So we drove from this side of town, and he jumped on, and you know, it was a pleasure. It was awesome, and we knocked it out. And I interviewed Roddy Piper. It's pretty cool talking about me live and all the stuff with Mr. T and WrestleMania 1 and that kind of stuff. You know, it was pretty big thing that to me was just talking to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking at it now with the events that transpired, man, it's like it's gold. It's just like a gem, you know, that I have that a lot of people don't have.
I know this is a difficult question to ask, but what's like one thing, if you had to just sum it down to like one thing that you'll always remember that Roddy said to you about, not about wrestling, about life?
You know what? Wrestling, he's told me so many different things, you know, and that's a tough one, but I would have to say that just the stuff that he said was about, you know, about family and, you know, this, you can really, in this business, you can lose yourself and lose your identity, lose your family, lose everything. And he was kind of the one that kind of held on to all of it through all the different, you know, trials and businesses and entertainment that he went through with movies and TV shows and all different stuff, you know. And he was always working and traveling and doing stuff, but he always held on to his family, you know. So I think that's something that I'll always
Okay, you spent a lot of time with Roddy in WCW. I mean, you grew a lot in WCW. You went from, you know, carrying around the horse, you know, to Lieutenant Loco, to Cruiserweight Champion, to technical wrestler. You ever think, you know, what could have happened if WCW never folded? I mean, you were like a mainstay in the upper mid card, and you were really developing yourself. You had that great feud with Shane Helms. Do you ever think about like what could have been, where you would be if WCW never folded?
Well, you know what? I always think that if it didn't fold and kept strong, it would have been great, better for the business, you know, because then you would have had something other than just, you know, WWF, WWE at the time. You know, so after it folded, really, there was no choices anymore. It's like it would have been like Coca-Cola killing and taking over every other cola company, and you only have Coke now, which is fine at times, but sometimes you want something other than Coke. Mm-hmm. If you've got nothing else other than Coke, then that's it. If you don't want Coke, you got Diet Coke. If you want Diet Coke, you got Cherry Coke. But it's all Coke. You know what I mean? And if you don't like it, well then, drink water. And that's kind of like where the rest of this was for a little bit, you know? And it's like, everybody thrives great under competition, and including WWE, you know? So I think it would have been a great if WCW would have stuck around and been able to compete, you know?
I've heard so many different opinions on WCW over the years. You know, everyone has their own opinion. As far as you go, your tenure in WCW, what do you think it meant to you? What did you learn about yourself as a performer during that time?
Well, I started when I went to WCW. It was really my first year in the business. You know, I was very, very young, and I got the opportunity from Eddie and being a guru. Of course, I had to, you know, keep in the game. You get an opportunity, but just because you get the opportunity doesn't mean that you're going to make it. And Eric Bischoff took a chance on me and, you know, came out. And that's why you see a lot of different, you know, gimmicks and different things in WCW for me, because I had to keep reinventing myself because I was so young and so green in the business that my wrestling, just getting in the ring and performing, wasn't enough at the time for me, because I wasn't good enough yet, you know, and I had to disguise it by doing different things and kind of working with my strengths and hiding my weaknesses. And that's what you do anyways, but now it's much easier. Now I get in the ring and really you don't ever see a weakness because I can hide them. I got them. I hide them very, very well. And back then it was just kind of learning myself and learning what I meant to the business and what the business meant to me. I had no idea. I was just learning.
You're kind of like the Kevin Bacon of professional wrestling. You've been everywhere. You've seen everything. I mean, you beat CM Punk for the ECW title. You've held titles all over the place. What do you want your legacy to be? You know, like looking back, you know, 5-10 years from now when you hang up the boots and you're kind of like just settling down and doing something different. How do you want people to be like Chavo Guerrero? How do you want them to look back on what you've accomplished?
The Kevin Bacon, I've never thought about that. It's kind of right now. I'm like, Tocino. But it was fantastic. I hope they people remember me that, first off and foremost, that it's the pleasure to be able to go to, you know, feed my family and live out my dream in this business, you know, so I thank the fans for always, you know, supporting us. For my legacy, I want people to remember me that I gave it all out to them in the ring at all times, and I try to make them laugh, I try to make them cry, I try to make them hate me, I try to make them love me, and you know, I think if you look back at it, there's a lot of characters in wrestling that did one thing, and they did one thing very well, but they're remembered for one thing. They're remembered for being this heel, and that's it. They're remembered for being this great babyface, and that's it. With me, I want people to remember that I did everything. I was a tag team wrestler, tag team champion. I was a single wrestler, singles champion. I was a good guy. I was a bad guy. I was a funny guy. I was a white guy. I rode a horse. I did everything. So that I can, all the facets of the entertainment I kind of covered. And that's something that, I mean, it definitely works for me in Hollywood, because people see that, you know, and now that Hollywood's getting so savvy about the wrestling business, they see that these wrestlers are just so talented, other than just getting in the ring and wrestling, they're like, God, this guy's really talented, that they see my stuff, and especially if they're a fan, they go, wow, this guy can kind of do everything. So we want this guy to be a bad guy. Okay, Chavo, come in. You know, we want this guy to be a funny guy. Okay, Chavo, come in. So, you know, it'd be hard if you wanted, you know, who's a great heel that was always a bad guy, that you want him to come in and be a funny guy now. Well, that's it. They can't do that, but they've never proven that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, you know, hopefully they'll remember that I kind of can do everything. Whether I did it well or not, I don't know. It's up to them, but, you know, I was able to do it.
That connects beautifully into the next question. Considering the fact that you are so multifaceted and eclectic, do you think that helps you become a better show host because you're talking to all these guys and you've done some of the things that they've done, or you've done different things than they have?
Absolutely. You know, when you step in somebody's shoes and you can kind of talk to them and relate to them more. If you've never walked in somebody's shoes, well, then you can't. You can have an opinion, but you can never actually have a valued opinion because you've never done it. I can talk about walking on the moon all I want and how an astronaut does it works, but I've never done it, so I really, really don't know. So when you have a lot of people talk about wrestling, oh, this wrestler, this is whatever, you know, they got opinions and it's great. But sometimes, you know, those opinions are invalid because they've never actually, they never laced on boots and fed your family from wrestling with all the politics and all the bad stuff that goes along with all the good stuff too, you know. So it's one of those that if you haven't walked somebody's shoes, your opinion sometimes just, you know, doesn't really hold weight, you know.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you're kind of, and I hate to say it like this because you're not an old guy by any stretch of the imagination, but like you're kind of like your grizzled veteran status, so to speak. Do you think that makes you, like, because you fit so well on Lucha Underground. Do you think that that's like one of the reasons why your character is the way that it is?
You know, yeah, I think so. You know, wrestling definitely changed because if this was, you know, if it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'd be right in my prime. You didn't even make it in wrestling until you were 10, 15 years in. And then you went for a good 5 or 10 years after that. You know, it took that long to perfect that craft. But, you know, nowadays you got these guys that come in and they're, you know, on TV and their third year in the business and they're, you know, they're being a champion, this and that. And they're not even close to their prime, you know, really. And it's not their fault. It's that's just the way the business has evolved. But they want, you know, these, you know, young guys in there, but just as far as their craft, they haven't even come close to perfecting it yet, you know. So as far as me on Lucha Underground, I think that definitely helped me because I have been around a little bit, and I have kind of done everything, you know, whether it be Lucha Libre or whether it be, you know, Japanese style or American style or European style. I've been all different styles. And then coming in with Lucha Underground, the way we film that is like a movie, you know. It's a lot of acting, you know, especially all the backstage stuff. So if you've never done that or only done it for on a wrestling audience, it's totally different. The way you do it in a movie sense, it's different. And thank God I've done a few movies that I'm able to bring that experience into Lucha Underground. Because in wrestling business, we're so used to doing things so big and so huge. So if you've only done, you know, your backstage vignettes in WWE on a video camera, and sometimes it doesn't really matter if you can act or not, but you want to get it out. Well, it comes across that way, you know. So if you can get on and be a halfway decent actor and then put that into the way we film things at Lucha Underground, then it helps, you know. So I hope that did come across that way. And, you know, I love doing it, but I felt that it was very easy for me. And the directors also were the same way, where we'd come out and knock it out. And they'd be like, oh, Chavo, thank God. Did one take or two takes, you know. And, you know, of course, we did every angle in a take. But you know, a lot of guys, they'd come out and they'd be filming for 8 hours because they just couldn't get it, you know. And the way that, like, Skip Chasen from Skip Films, he was our kind of directing all those backstage vignettes. You know, he's a perfectionist, and he can work magic, but he needs you to bring something that he can work with.
With so many different wrestling programs on, I mean, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, NXT, New Japan has a online show. For someone that hasn't watched Lucha Underground yet, why do you think that they should?
we're the only ones different, and I say that. I'm thank God for all these other organizations that are coming, that are getting exposure, and people are watching right now, because that's like a little boom time for wrestling again, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's great for the wrestlers, great for the promoters, great for the fans. You know, so I love that. But as far as Lucha Underground standing out, you've never seen anything like it. Everybody says they're different, and nobody is. And I've seen it and seen it and seen it. This is the only program that is different 100%. This is the way wrestling is evolved. This is the evolved version of wrestling. We really are. When everybody else is still doing it the way it's been done for 20 years, well, we're doing it different. And the way Mark Burnett, actually, you know, our executive producer and the show creator, the way that he thinks is like, I'd rather fail being different than WWE than succeed being the same. Because there's only, you know, WWE is Coca-Cola, like I said before. Mm-hmm. If you come out with another cola, all you are is an RC cola. No matter how good you are, you can't compete. And that's just the way it is. There's only one Disneyland, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All the other guys are just, you know, they're not Fairy Farm, you know. They're just knockoffs. And it's the same with wrestling. You know, there's one WWE. We're not trying to compete with them. We're trying to be completely different, and I think we're showing that.
Okay, to get back to your show, so far the people that have been announced that are going to be on the show are Chris Jericho, Rampage Jackson, obviously Roddy, John Morrison. My question now is there a person that you'd love to interview that you haven't gotten yet? And then if so, who are they? And then what's the one question that you would ask them?
Oh, God, there's so many of them. I'd love to interview a ton of them. A ton of actors, you know. A lot of actors... They get all these different questions that happen because they've never really been on a show like mine. Where we're not, it's having fun, you know. I'm not trying to dig deep and get dirt. All I want is these guys to have fun and show their personality and have a couple of beers talking shit, you know. And that's kind of really all I really want to do. So, you know, I'd love to have Ronda Rousey on there, you know, and you know, just pick her brain because she's, you know, she's so charismatic and just, you know, really hot right now. But, you know, guy, I mean, actors, like, you know, like guy actors, like, you know, Vince Vaughn, like a Robert De Niro, like a Jack Nicholson, those kind of guys, you know, whether they do my show or not, I don't know. But those guys are just, it'd be fun just to have a beer with them and just, you know, pick their brains. And I think guys would like to see that. And I'll really have anybody on that anybody really wants to see and you know, try to just have a good time with these guys and pull something out of them. And at the same time, they're pulling stuff out of me, which is kind of cool. But I just think that I would just have any, you know, just anybody fun on there, you know. And, mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're a big star or a small star. If you're fun, I'll get you on there for sure. I'd love to have you on.
What do you think, since you mentioned Ronda Rousey, you kind of jumped into the fire pit there. She made a comment about Floyd Mayweather the other day that she thinks that she could take him in a fight with no rules. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Not, she will take him for sure. Because she's such a smart fighter. Nothing taking away from Floyd, because I wouldn't want to stand toe-to-toe with a guy, you know, about being bigger than him or whatever. But that's not, you know, if you're in a no-holds-barred or something that you can do wrestling and jiu-jitsu and all this different stuff with, and that takes your striking right out of it. You have to be so much more well-rounded, and that's what Ronda is. You know, Ronda, she can strike with you, but she'll take you down and choke out. I'll buy you in a second, you know. So, I think she would take him really, really fast. I mean, you never know; she could get knocked out too, really fast too.
So, bottom line: why should someone check out your show?
My show, the Chavo Show on Geek Nation, is just fun. It's a totally different kind of show. We just get on there and we not into getting the nitty gritty. All we're into doing is just having fun and getting some laughs and entertaining the fans in a total different way, which is in a guy way, just having a good time.